Welcome, baseball family, to the Thursday Night Live episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I am Brad, and as you would expect, I'm joined by our guy Brig on my left. Good evening, Brig. How are you?
I'm okay. My internet's suffering, but everything will be just fine.
Things seem to be much smoother on your side of the screen right now. So
yes, outstanding.
We'll see how it goes from here on out. Anyway, playoff baseball. Been playoff baseball, Brig. Pretty crazy. Well, I was honestly, I'll be honest with you. I was a little concerned going into today, Thursday, that the Phillies and D-backs was just going to kind of fizzle out. And that was just going to kind of be how it was. And then we were just going to have to wait for the ALCS to wrap up. And I still don't see that thing going more than six games. But I was a little bit worried for how things were going to go. But suddenly, things are a little more interesting.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
It's interesting on the ALCS side too, right?
Like very interesting.
It's very interesting. The whole thing has been awesome.
It is. But before we get too deep into that, baseball family, sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity, and we want to connect you with an opportunity to get started or get ahead. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to maximize your profits, and there has never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/baseball, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region, state, wherever, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and it's a great way to cash in early. And when you register through the Baseball Together link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful sports betting. I'm here to tell you that is the truth. If you want to take advantage of these benefits and support the show, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/baseball. As always, there is a link down in the episode description. Now, let's get into the ALCS, Brig. Let's start there. Okay.
Yep.
Because it's been a wild and crazy ride down in Texas.
I'm telling you.
It certainly has been the wild, wild west.
Yes.
The wickety wild west. For those of you who know,
right? Yes. Jump in the comments and tell us if you got that joke, baseball family. That one was the highest of quality.
Thank you. Anyway, so as it stands at this moment, the Rangers are leading this series 2-1. Okay. Hmm. Game one was an interesting one, right? Like Jordan Montgomery went out there, the Rangers won 2-0, but Montgomery tossed a gem, 6 1/3, 5 hits, no runs, just 1 walk and struck out 6. And a team that doesn't strike out very often, 6 strikeouts in 6 1/3 is quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a lot. I agree.
And then on the other side, you had Justin Verlander pitching for the Astros, and I thought it was crazy. It's just like, well, shoot, here you go. He pitches 6 2/3, gives up 2 runs. One is on a bloop, one is on a bomb. But that was the difference. Right? Like,
yeah.
And sometimes that's all it takes. And
right.
I was shocked that the Rangers were able to just completely shut down the Astros in that first game. Just entirely.
Couldn't believe it myself. I'm still shocked.
Well, this is the thing, though, is we weren't shocked for too long, though, right? Because we went to game two. Yes, the Rangers won that one 5-4, but it was a little more interesting, I felt like. Right?
It was way more interesting, yeah.
The Rangers jumped out on Framber Valdez early. He only lasted 2 2/3, gave up 5 runs, 4 of those earned because he himself had an error that ended up leading to a run. Mm-hmm. 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. It's so crazy, like, man, the dude gave up 5 and pitched 2 2/3, but he still struck out 6.
Yeah.
If they weren't putting in play, if they weren't getting on base, they were striking out. So kind of did what he's supposed to do. But the Rangers needed that early 4-0 cushion. They ended up winning, like I said, winning 5-4. The Rangers bullpen kind of reared the ugly side of its head, right? Late in the game. And I was like, oh shoot, here we go. This is what we've been waiting for. They managed to hold on to the lead. But this is the thing that I think happened, Brig. And let me know if you think I'm out of line with this. I think what happened was the Rangers bullpen's inability to get outs and make it let the Astros be competitive kind of woke a sleeping giant, let it kind of get out of bed and start moving in the right direction, because they say hitting is contagious. All it takes is a little bit of confidence going through that dugout and then everybody starts hitting. And then we saw it in game three, right?
That's exactly what we saw in game three. Houston came to play and just dominated. 8-5 was the final score, but that doesn't really do it justice, because I thought that the Houston Astros, not only offensively, even defensively, just really had their stuff together. They were not gonna lose game three. It felt like there was just no chance. So they jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the second. That certainly helped. And they tacked on one more in the third and another in the fourth. Rangers scored in the fifth, and that cut the lead to only 3. But after that, dude, it was just bang, bang, blow by blow. Mm-hmm. Every time Texas did anything, Houston responded. And it was just, I mean.
Yeah, it felt a little bit close there at 5-3. It was like, oh, or 5-2. It's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then it was like 7-3. All right. 7-5. Well, yeah. Maybe, you know, but
yeah.
The 8-5, it felt like the difference was more than 3 runs.
It felt like 10-5 is what it felt like.
Yeah. Yep.
It to did. Me.
Yeah, it sure did. I think you're right. So I don't know. I felt a lot less confident about my Texas pick after that game. I still feel like they can win it, right?
Right.
Because as of this moment, a home team has not won a game in this series.
Right.
And the Astros are way better on the road than they are at home, which is mind-boggling.
It doesn't make
sense. Maybe it's because of the batter's eye. I don't know.
It could be that.
It doesn't seem to be a problem for anybody else.
No.
But for them, for whatever reason. I'm not sure.
But I'm not going to make those jokes, but yeah, I have jokes. You probably know the jokes I want to make, but I'm not.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. That's been a pretty wild series, seeing what's going on back and forth. Game four is going on at this very moment. If you're not watching or paying attention or are curious what the score is at this moment in the show, 3-2 Astros in the middle of the third. The Astros got 3 in the first, and the Rangers got 2 in the second, off of a couple of hits, a homer from Garcia and a sac fly from Young. The Rangers, though, really had an opportunity, though. They had one out, runners on second and third. They should have been able to capitalize on that and tie the game, but you know how it goes.
They should have. But what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
So, yep.
But it feels like a much closer game. Much more competitive than game three was, despite 3 runs early for the Astros.
Honestly, that's what we want, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless your team is involved, you just want to see competitive baseball. We just want it to be fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And this game so far is fun. And we'll get into NLCS in a minute, because tonight's game was super fun. But before we do that, I got a couple of things I want to bring up. The first is that David Ortiz has gone and offered a nickname to Yordan Alvarez, who's been just killing it.
That dude doesn't even hit singles anymore.
No.
And he doesn't get out. That's the baffling thing, is he just gets extra base hits.
It's crazy. So David Ortiz, his bigness, or Big Poppy, I call him his bigness, but Big Poppy.
Bigness.
Yeah. Has nicknamed Yordan Alvarez Baby Poppy. And I just want to know, Brad, is this like some like glorified, nickname that's this tremendous honor, or is this some sort of underhanded thing that puts Yordan Alvarez in his place, or is it somewhere in the middle where it's like, cute, you're good, and also I'm still the best?
I honestly think it's a pretty high compliment from Big Poppy to put his nickname on somebody else, because Dwight Howard got into the NBA. I don't know if you remember this whole thing or know about it, but Dwight Howard got into the NBA and he wanted to be called Superman. Shaq is Superman.
Correct.
right? So, and Shaq even told him, he's like, no, big fella. I'm Superman. I think is how it went, yeah. Right? But yeah, that was like this whole big thing. And I know Jordan Alvarez hasn't put this nickname on himself, but
right.
I think it's a pretty big honor for somebody to put their nickname on him. Did you know there's actually a kid in the Mariners system they call Baby Jordan?
No way.
Yeah, he's faster and has a better arm, but he has just as much power.
That's awesome. He's
an amazing hitter. So
that's really
I'm excited cool. for that kid to come up in a couple years.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, baseball family, in case you didn't know, you're not allowed to assign yourself a nickname.
Okay, that's right.
Let's just, yeah. That's a law. And I almost just let go of the editing we make very a priority on the show. It's a law. I feel very strongly about this. You cannot give yourself a nickname.
You're absolutely okay. Right. Yeah, no, it is absolutely a law. Like, you should do time if you give yourself a nickname.
That's right. Social yeah. justice will come after you in the form of criticism and ostracization.
Hey, we have a tie game. Tie game in Arlington.
Yes. Oh, well, let's get on with this. Baseball family, I'm going to yawn and then I'm going to tell you about this. Oh, man, sorry. It's been a day. All right, versus game. Let's talk about versus game because we are always asking you what you think about the topics that we bring up on the show. And now there's a quick and easy way to share your thoughts with us and participate in the conversation. We have partnered with Versus Game, which allows us to bring you games where you can make real money from participating in our polls and trivia and predictions, and not just ours, but other people's. So if you're on the winning side of a poll, or if you get a trivia question right or a prediction correct, then you can win real money and prizes. You can play for free, or you can purchase ticket bundles, which allows you to win more and win faster. And you can play against other listeners and versus game users as well. So the way you do that is you head over to btpod.onversus.com on your mobile browser and sign up and play our polls and games. Just a reminder, that's btpod.onversus.com. Come and sign up and play with us. And we have a couple of polls and opinions up right now. So
one yeah, we got is, who you got. Who you got in the NLCS? Who you got in the ALCS? Then there's a few right. more up there. We got a bunch. Yep. Go play the polls and have a good time.
It's fun.
Play some games. Win some prizes. You know. Good
time. You're on a roll. You're on a roll.
That is an okay. old joke between a friend and I'm like 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, well, you whipped out a Shaq impersonation as well. So
right.
you might be living 20 years ago, Brad. that's maybe where you're at tonight.
It seems like, first there's Wild Wild West. Oh,
yeah.
My God,
oh, man. That,
you're throwing this thing back to the early 2000s.
That was so good, dude.
Anyway. All right, let's talk about the NLCS. So okay. the Phillies. After today's game, the Phillies lead this series 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And up until today, Brig, it was 100% Phillies.
Steamroller.
Like, oh, like. Big time. Like, the 5-3 game one, like, didn't even, like you said, the other one seemed like 10-5. This might as well have been 15-3 instead of 5-3.
Well, and part of that is because the D-backs did not record a run until the sixth inning. They yeah. got shut out until the sixth inning. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's trouble. And the other thing that's trouble is when you're giving up a bomb to Kyle Schwarber on the very first pitch he sees, and then two batters later, yeah. Bryce Harper, Brother Harper, is going yard on his birthday, hitting his birthday dinger, right?
That's
so,
right.
like, it was like six pitches, something like that, and they're down 2-0.
And Zach Wheeler tossed a gem, six innings pitched, three hits is all, two earned runs, eight strikeouts. So there's your six innings. And then he gave up a couple of those runs and they pulled him. But that's eight strikeouts across six innings against a playoff opponent. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and was it Wheeler or was it Rangers? No, it wasn't Ranger Suarez. Was it maybe Ranger Suarez who had no hit the D-backs through like five or six?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me look. I think, was that game two?
I think it was game two. I think you're right. Yeah. Cause game two was competitive. Not even a little bit. Like,
no.
Game two was bad news bears for the Diamondbacks. That one was a final of 10-0. And eight of those runs came in the sixth and seventh inning. They scored four in the sixth and four in the seventh. So, yeah. Like, that's the thing. It was Aaron Nola.
Nola.
Through like five, I believe, because he threw six. But anyway.
Yeah, I got it right here. Nola's line is six innings pitched, three hits, zero earned runs, zero walks, and seven Ks. They just got blanked. And then they Hoffman took over, pitched for an inning, two strikeouts, no earned runs, no walks, no hits. Then Matt Stram comes up, one inning pitched, no hits, no runs, one walk, one strikeout. Dude. And then Kirkering gave up.
So here's the thing, though. This is the thing that's crazy to me, is that Merrill Kelly, yeah, he gave up four runs, but only two of those scored while he was in the game. He went five and two thirds, and through five, he had only given up two runs. And it was he had also, through that point, only given up two hits.
Yes.
It was a home run in the first and a home run in the third. And so I was kind of like, man, like, Merrill Kelly is dealing. He made two mistakes, paid for him, because you got one of the hottest offensive teams in history right now at the plate home.
Fact.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Like, that's really what that comes down to, is that the Phillies through game two were seeing the baseball at beach ball size proportions and could not miss it. And we saw that with hanging up four and two innings late in that game. Yeah. And against a Diamondbacks bullpen that has been a problem all year long.
Yeah.
So
Kyle Schwarber homered twice. Trey Turner homered once in that ball game. And then we have three runs. So Schwarber earned three of the runs, which is crazy. Turner, two runs. Harper, one. Baum, one. Stott earned one. Realmuto earned one. That's a pretty good spread. It's not just on the backs of one or two guys in game two, which is great.
Yeah, it was spread all around with them. And, yeah, like I said, hitting is contagious, and it certainly was in game two. Game three was a little different.
Yeah, in game two, everyone was A-O-A-O-K. And now
yes.
I've been waiting to say that. game three.
That was a different story. Game three is a different story today. I wrote that joke like
at 8 a.m., okay?
So this is the thing that's funny, Brig, is that game three today, tickets were dirt stinking cheap. I got on SeatGeek yesterday, and I found some for $8. And I was like,
yeah. Okay.
Too bad. You know what's funny? It's because of everybody else like me who has to work and can't go.
To a 2 p.m. game. It's 2 p.m. local time. Mm-hmm. And I read a report that a bunch of the Phillies fans caught wind in Philly that the tickets were so cheap, they just started buying up as many seats as they could to make it so nobody local could show up.
Yeah.
Now that is some serious involvement from a fan base.
But it makes sense, though. I mean, like, if it meant that my team was going to win because there was less of a home crowd, I would spend $10 on a ticket, right,
dude?
Like,
yeah,
NLC in the championship series, you bet. That's totally a super duh. But it didn't seem to work that well, because Brandon Pfaadt, who has struggled this year, had a couple stints down in AAA in Reno. When the Mariners were in town, I watched him pitch against the Mariners. And at that point, he was like 1-6 with like a 7 ERA. And I was like, oh, mow him down. Not the case. Mm-hmm. He shut the Mariners down that day. Just like he shut the Phillies down today through 5 2/3, two hits, 9 strikeouts.
Nine
times, Brig.
Oh, man. Nine.
And through 5 2/3.
Great.
That is outstanding. Like, just watching that game, watching him deal, he was hitting the corners, just absolutely painting them. And the thing that was funny was eventually he stopped getting them. Just all of a sudden, the umpire stopped calling corners for both teams. And it was just like,
that's right. The zone moved for sure.
Yeah. Like you saw Real Muto at one point. He caught a ball in the corner and he kind of went to move like he's going to stand up for strike three, but it wasn't called and he looked back.
Yeah. He kind of went like, are you kidding me, dude?
It's like, yeah, I would be too.
The whole crowd did. The whole crowd was like, oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even though Fott struck out 9, Ranger Suarez struck out 7. He went 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks on the other side. That's why the game was so nuts, man, because there were no runs until the 7th inning, and then they tied it up at 1 apiece in the 7th.
Yeah. Let's talk about the 9th inning, though, because that was absolutely bonkers, the way that one ended up playing out. Because I assumed with Kimbrel going in there, like, this is the thing with Kimbrel, is that I don't want to say that I assume that he's going to get the job done, because you can't assume that with him anymore.
No, right? But
like
70 or so percent of the time.
Yeah. I was going to say 70 to 80. I would even say 80% of the time he's good to go, right?
Yeah.
But you know that there is the chance of that 20 to 30% could be any time. And today was one of those times. So
dude laid an egg tonight.
He absolutely did. Yeah. Lourdes Gurriel led off. I think he, I can't remember, did he walk? I think he walked.
I think it was a leadoff walk, yeah.
And then he stole second. That shocked me in and of itself. Dude. Right there.
Like, the Real Muto could have had him. They were like, look at jump got. I'm like, yeah, but that dude moves like molasses, man.
Yeah.
That's as fast as he's gone and since he was in college or whatever, Little League.
So this is the crazy thing, though, is that the Diamondbacks were second in the National League in stolen bases. 160, they stole 166 bases. The Reds were ahead of them with 190. I think Ellie De La Cruz stole like 150 of those. But the Diamondbacks have not been running.
Not at all.
Finally, they get late in the game here, the opportunity, and they send the slowest guy, one of the slowest guys on the team.
Yeah.
To steal a base.
That was an opportunity. That was a cost-benefit analysis, because against Craig Kimbrel, you can run, but you do have to be careful with Real Muto behind the plate. So what was interesting to me is the guy at the plate had to swing. It doesn't matter where the ball is. He has to swing.
Maybe it was a hit and run. Because I was watching from the dinner table, and so, like, if this is the screen, I could only see, like, right here. I couldn't see, like, the right – third of the screen.
Yeah.
And so I didn't see what happened to the plate. I just saw that he stole the base and food fell out of my mouth. I was shocked.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it was a swinging steal. The dude,
it was probably a hit and run where he swung and missed.
Yeah, he swung and missed for sure, but it was a necessity that he swung. Yeah. Otherwise, Real Muto would have thrown him out, no problem.
Yeah. But so then Gurriel gets up or gets to second, and then Pavin Smith was up. So he hits a single, runners on the corners. Smith takes second, defensive indifference, doesn't make it, no reason to try to make that throw.
No,
right? None whatsoever. And then this
took away the double play.
It did take away the double play, but at that point there was nobody out, so it didn't matter. They're not going to go for the double play anyway. They're going to try to cut that run down at home. But so this is the thing that got me. The ball, the shortstop. Was Gurriel running on contact? Like, was he supposed to be running on contact? Because if he was,
no.
Pavin Smith should have been standing on third. Instead, the dude's standing on second base still. Like,
yeah, because Gurriel didn't do anything.
No, and he that was a recess play. That was a recess play at the plate. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yes.
He slid a little around, like, and swim
move, and then
yeah.
I was like, wow, that's great. I couldn't believe that he got around Real Muto the first time. That was
I assumed that he had got him on that first go, but then when they showed the replay, I was like, man, he missed him by like 6 inches.
Yeah, he did. It was a pretty good, I just couldn't believe it. So it was athletic. It was an athletic move. But then it was too athletic, because he just has so much momentum that had he been moving slower, he might have gotten away with it.
He was moving at regular speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, somehow he got a little bit extra burst. But no, that was the thing that like blew my mind, though, is that, like, if I'm the third base coach, I'm looking at second base and be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You saw him go.
Yeah.
He's either out or he's safe. Either way, you need to be here. Yeah. Because if he's safe, the game's over. If he's out, we need you scoring on the next play.
Third. Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then after that, I think it was Perdomo drew a walk, bases loaded, and then Ketel Marte, who had already had two doubles in the game, came through with a line drive to center field.
Yeah.
Game over. He
blooped it into right center. It was awesome.
And we've got ourselves a series.
We really do. So if they can show up again tomorrow, well, then it'll be really interesting. And, yeah. And I think we both predicted six. I think we both predicted Philly six, didn't we?
I was thinking Philly in five, honestly.
Five. Okay.
Yeah. Well, because
I think I called six, but.
And so this is the thing that's really interesting about playing in Phoenix, is that when the roof is closed, fly balls die.
They die.
Like you can see them. Like I sat out in the outfield this last year at a game, and you could see it. It looked like the ball was coming. Then all it almost looks like it hits a wall, and I think it has to do with the AC.
Yeah.
You know, blowing down. That the ball kind of goes and then it changes trajectory and just kind of dies out there right in front of the warning track. And so you've really got to get a hold of one to get it out. Like Marte, probably if the roof was open, would have had a homer earlier in the game instead of a double.
Yeah. I think
there were a couple that probably would have at least hit the wall and been doubles earlier instead of falling short of the track.
Yeah. There was one that hit the wall that should have been a bomb, but it hit the padding and it was just missed by the center fielder. And it was, that one should have been gone.
Yeah, so it's interesting the difference. Like, the ball is certainly flying in Philly, was not flying in Phoenix for the Phillies tonight. And I'm curious if they're going to have the roof closed tomorrow, because since it's a night game, it's not going to be 100 plus by the time the game starts, and the sun will be going down pretty soon after. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Well, let's give everybody an update on when they can watch the next games of the series. Game 5 against the Astros and the Rangers is going to be in Arlington tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. Game 4, Chase Field in Arizona between Philly and the Diamondbacks, 8 p.m. tomorrow. Game 5 is Saturday at 8 p.m. in the NLCS, and that's a travel day for the ALCS, and they'll go back to Texas.
Back to Houston.
Or Houston. Yeah, I guess they're both in Texas. Go back to Houston. And then that Sunday's a travel day in LCS, and Monday they'll be back in Philly. So that should bring us current. The series end, game 7 if necessary for the ALCS is on Monday, and game 7 if necessary for the NLCS is Tuesday. So there you have it.
There you go. Baseball family, thanks.
The World Series.
The World Series. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday Night Live episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you can, especially on the YouTube machine. Thank you. We will catch you next week.